Welcome to the Harris & Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris with the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good partner and good friend, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher at the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you to our program tonight and remind you from the outset that this is a live call-in talk show. We will be discussing some pertinent issues that pertain to you and pertain to the society in which we live, and we're going to ask Bible questions. We're going to get Bible answers tonight, and we want you to have your input in here with us. We are broadcasting from the Studio 6 in Hillcrest, at the Hillcrest building here in Stephenville, Texas, and we want to welcome our listeners at 97.7 KATX in Eastland, Texas, and Eastland County, and also in 100.5 KNNK in Hereford, Texas, through the High Plains Radio Network. We're also on KnowTheTruthRadio.org, which is an internet radio station. We're broadcasting live from right here at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Studio, Texas. Now, the number to call, and we would encourage you to do this, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free number. We would encourage you to call. There's other ways that you can contact us. If you are listening to us on the computer, and you can go to the harrisonmoore.org and go to the knowthetruthradio.com, there's a chat box there that you can type in your questions, and we will try to get around all of them. We obviously can't get to every single one of them, but we try. And if you don't want to do that, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Is that right, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Questions@harrisonmoore.org. We want to welcome also our sponsors tonight, in addition to the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We also have the Bangs Church of Christ that are our sponsors, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and also the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, where Ryan Smithy is our webmaster. As I mentioned, this is a live radio talk show. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions. We will give you a Bible answer. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
You know, David, we've also, when talking about this, we've had listeners from all over. We've had listeners from as far as Washington State. We've had listeners in Oklahoma and Tennessee, South Carolina. We had some in South America, in mm-hmm. Colombia, South America. We have some tonight, I believe, listening from Santo, from Hamilton, Texas. It's all over the state of Texas, and we're delighted that we have these listeners, and we're happy that we can provide a service for you to help you in your Christian walk and to help you really better understand the ways of God. David, we got a pretty interesting program to talk about tonight, don't we?
Sure we do. We're going to talk about the state of affairs of our nation and how it is and why it is that we got this way. You know, Tom, we're free, a shameless free society. And one of the reasons for this is through the years, psychologists and psychiatrists have convinced people that there's no need to feel guilty about anything. You watch your television and especially your commercials, they go and they try to promote this guilt-free attitude from everything about eating food to the way that you dress. And we're going to get into this a little bit more later on, but they're convincing people through television and through the printed page and through magazines and through all kinds of literature that which was once immoral is now moral. And this is all just kind of by the snap of a finger. So tonight, what we're going to ask, a few questions. First of all, what is guilt? What is shame? And should we feel guilty and should we feel shameful about anything? And for this, first of all, we actually need a definition of that word. Have you got a definition for us, Tom?
Yeah, when we talk about the word guilt, well, first we're going to talk about, from a secular standpoint, what the dictionary defines as guilt, and then we're going to begin looking at how the Bible defines guilt and shamefulness. But guilt, being guilty, guilt is under a sentence or condemnation. You are guilty.
Like being under a jury.
Right, exactly. And then your guilt is to owe, to be indebted to, then to fail in our duty, and to be delinquent. We are guilty of something, something that we have transgressed, something that we have not done right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're guilty of something. Well, the word shame is closely connected, not the same, but there's a close connection between it. The word shame means the painful feeling arising from the conscious of something, dishonorable and improper. And so here, David, we have one who does something that's not proper, that's dishonorable, and they feel shame or remorse because they've been involved in that. Now, David, when we look around in our world today, and as you've already mentioned, that is something that is sorely lacking in our world today. People have no guilt for what they do. People have no shame for what they're involved in. And as you mentioned, the commercials on TV and things of that nature are promoting this type of evil lifestyle. And you know, David, whenever you begin to put something in front of somebody time and time again, after a while, they begin to just kind of ignore it and really think it to be something like a commonplace. You look about the things that happened 50 years ago and what they would consider to be immoral 50 years ago compared to what we have today.
This could be kind of like a searing of the conscience, you
yes,
might say.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Paul is going to talk about here in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks about, I'll turn in your Bibles, if you will, for a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to kind of develop the fruit of a working conscience here. And, you know, our conscience, the fruit of a working conscience, David, has to be trained by the Word of God. When we do wrong, we should feel guilty, shouldn't we?
Certainly we should.
But a person who does not, does wrong and does not feel guilty, he's got a problem. And the problem he has is with who, David?
It's with the Lord.
With the Lord. A conscience. You know, a lot of people have a conscience, but the trouble is their conscience is not developed on the proper information, is it?
Right. And so we've got to have a biblically trained conscience in order to understand the rightfulness and the wrongfulness of a situation.
And the reason some people don't feel guilt and they don't feel shame for what they're doing, and if other people were doing that, they'd just feel horrified
mm-hmm.
at it. These people don't feel shame or guilt because it does not violate their conscience. But as we've been mentioning here, the sad thing is their conscience is not being trained properly. It's been trained by the commercials and by the things of the world, and not by what should really train our conscience, and that's the Word of God.
So, from a biblical standpoint, what we could say then, a good working definition from the biblical standpoint here of what is guilty and what is shameful, it is the fruit of a working conscience that has been trained by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you don't have the Word of God in your life, it would be impossible to have a conscience that would feel guilt or that would feel shame for doing something that was wrong.
Exactly.
So when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy." Now that would be knowingly. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, now, if your conscience are seared, as you were mentioning just a moment ago, They feel no guilt.
Exactly. They're, you know, it's like when you get burned and you'll have a seared spot in your hand. There's no feeling there. It's been seared. There's no feeling. And so these people, their consciences have been seared, branded. They have been, well, there's no feeling left. They don't experience guilt. Again, it's because their conscience has not been developed by the Word of God. It's been produced by the things of the world.
Right, right. Well, we have another example, a great example in Acts chapter 23, in verse number 1, when Paul the Apostle was standing before the Sanhedrin court of the Jews. Now, this was after he was converted. When he was a Jew, known as Saul of Tarsus, he was a good one. And he persecuted the Christians. He killed Christians. He put Christians in jail. And after he became a converted Christian, then Paul stood before the council in chapter 23 of the book of Acts, verse 1. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." So, in other words, all of those people that he had killed, all of those people that he gave his consent to be killed and to be put in prison, it didn't bother him at all because he was using his conscience as his guide. But at that particular time, his conscience was not trained the way that God would have it to be. And so we can't use our conscience for our guide to know whether we should feel guilty or whether we should be ashamed, or whether something is right, or whether something is wrong. But here's the deal. When we do wrong, we should feel guilty.
Exactly. Now, tonight we're talking about lack of guilt and lack of shame that we have in our present world. We're broadcasting tonight on the HPR network from KETX 97.7 FM in Eastland, and also KNNK 100.5 in Hereford, Texas, as well as KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We're thankful that you're in our audience. We want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And lest I forget, we want to remember, we have various sponsors from Bangs and De Leon, Dublin, Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood. Again, tonight we're talking about how that we're living in a world that is guiltless. They have no guilt. They feel no guilt for what they do. They have no shame for what they're doing. And, David, we are suffering the consequences of that by just looking around us, and we see a world filled with all kinds of immorality,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of evil taking place, and really it stems from the fact that they have no guilt for what they're doing. They have no shame for what they're doing. And as we mentioned a moment ago in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, their conscience has been seared with a hot iron, and they're beyond now the feeling of any remorse for what they're doing.
Right. Absolutely. So when we sin, we should feel guilty. Now, Tom, some things even an atheist know is wrong to do. I mean, it's just part of common sense, such as adultery. Even somebody that doesn't know anything about the Bible, even somebody that doesn't know anything about God's law and marriage, divorce, remarriage, and adultery, even that individual knows that it's wrong to commit adultery. It's just part of common sense. There are several other things like that. Homosexuality is just part of common sense. It's not natural. And you take this idea of stealing or tearing up somebody else's property, just common sense tells you that this is a wrong thing to do, even if you do not know right from wrong. But now there are other things that we can only know that are wrong. We can only know that are sinful through the Word of God. Now, we've got a passage of Scripture that proves this fact, don't we?
Exactly. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 7, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law." And so, you know, there are some things, David, that we need to understand that we really can know is wrong only by divine revelation. It comes from the Word of God.
So this is one of the purposes of the law, to exactly. show us what is wrong and what is sinful.
We know in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, sin is a transgression of the law.
Absolutely.
And so we see how the Word of God plays a part in showing us what we ought to feel guilty about and what we ought to feel shameful about. Some things we can know by common sense. Other things, as you just mentioned a moment ago, can only be known by the Word of God.
So then, when we look at worship to God, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to worship God. There is what the Bible points out to us is true worship, John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then there is that what is called vain worship. That would be worthless worship. Mm-hmm. And we find that in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. And there, what does Jesus have to say there?
In Matthew 15, verse 9, it says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrine the precepts or the commandments of men." Their worship was vain, and vain means to be worthless,
mm-hmm.
of no value. And so here we have, David, a worship that has come to the point to where God does not accept it. It's worthless, of no value. There's a difference between what is right and what is worthless.
So a person could not use his conscience to worship God.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people, David, that think, well, as long as I'm worshiping God from my heart,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be all right. But they fail to realize what worship really is. It's not what makes you feel good. It's what is pleasing to the sight of God. And when we are pleasing God in our worship, should we not feel ashamed?
Certainly we should.
Should we not feel guilt for not pleasing God for whom worship is to be?
Well, you know, one thing worship is devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can never, ever, ever forget who is the object of our devotion. It's not another man. It's not another woman. It's not another thing. The object of our devotion, the object of our worship, has always got to be God himself.
Well, as a matter of fact, David, the Greek word that is most often used for worship in the New Testament is proskuneo, which means to kiss the hand toward. And so worship is something given out to someone else, and our worship is to be to the Lord. And so when we're pleasing ourselves, then we ought to feel pretty bad about that, because that's not what worship's about.
Well, it's sinful.
It is.
It's sinful. And we are supposed to feel guilty when we sin. And so when we look at this, when we look at the sinful nature of wrongful worship, and Jesus points it out, he says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So is it vain worship? Is it true worship? If it's true worship, it's right, because God authorized it. If it is vain worship, then it is wrong and it is sinful, and we ought to feel guilty about that kind of thing.
Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And if we don't do that, we should feel guilty.
Certainly.
We should feel ashamed. You know, David, there was an example in the Old Testament where there were a people who felt that they should do things their own way. You know, Jeremiah is a wonderful book, and we're going to be looking at Jeremiah for several things tonight. But in Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 15 through 17, we see there, David, an example, don't we,
mm-hmm.
of a people who decided they were going to do things their own way as opposed to doing things God's their way.
No doubt. And in chapter 44 of the book of Jeremiah, and verse number 15, it says, "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, 'As for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord.'" Now, I want you to get that. Jeremiah is the mouthpiece of God. He's the prophet of God, and he's speaking by the authority of God. They recognize this, and they're saying, As for the word that you, Jeremiah, have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you, but we will certainly do whatsoever things goes forth out of our own mouth. And then it says, and they saw no evil.
That's how he concludes verse 17. That really draws to conclusion, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
They saw nothing wrong with what they were doing. They felt no guilt. They felt no remorse. They felt no shame for opposing God and doing things their own way. And sadly, we see that happening in our very day.
Yes, and actually recognizing, he says, the word that you have spoken in the name of the Lord, by the authority of the Lord. In other words, he could have had the written word right in front of him, and they said, I know what that says, but I'm going to do what my mouth says, not what that says.
You know, not too long ago, David, when we were on another radio station, there was a lady that called in, and she had a question about something, and we gave her...
Her name was Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right. She had a question,
mm-hmm.
and we gave her a Bible answer for
mm-hmm.
it. She read it. She saw it. She says, you know, I know that's what it says, but I don't agree with it.
Right.
That's exactly what's taking place here in Jeremiah. And so we've got to realize that sometimes people just have no shame. We ought to be ashamed. We ought to feel guilty every single time we violate God's holy word, when we violate his moral law, when we violate his spiritual law concerning worship,
mm-hmm.
and salvation. We need to feel guilt.
Right. Now, we're talking here tonight about living in a guiltless society, living in a shameless society, and why it is that we're doing that. And we're getting quite a bit of information coming in on the chat box. And amazingly, most of these people are trying to beat us to where we're headed.
Yeah, I think they're reading our notes.
They must be reading our notes because they're headed in a place where we're going, and we're going to get there, guys. Be patient with us. We're talking about when we should feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
We should feel guilty when we do wrong, when we know we do wrong. We should feel guilty about that. But sometimes, Tom, we feel guilty when we ought not feel guilty.
Exactly. You know, there are some things, David, that we really can't control.
Mm-hmm.
There's accidents that are involved that we just cannot control. Solomon said, time and chance happens to them all. Ecclesiastes
mm-hmm.
chapter 9 and verse 11. And if we cannot control something, why should we feel guilty about it?
Right.
Now, there are a lot of things, David, that
I'm
we have a moral conscience that's developed by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that conscience is not developed, then we begin, we no longer have the ability to blush or to be ashamed. Now, this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd love for you to call in with a question or comment. The question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And tonight we're talking about guilt and shame and how that we're living in a day when our world seems to be free of guilt and shame. And that, David, is to our detriment.
Sure it is. And just like in the day of Jeremiah, they couldn't blush. They were not at all ashamed, and this is one of the great problems in our society today. There is no guilt. There is no shame. And just to give you an illustration of this, men and women in our society are engaged in infanticide, and they call it abortion. And they have no shame about this at all. And I ask you this question, why is it that the proponents of life, why is it that they are trying to make a law that says that a woman that is going to get an abortion, she must look at her sonogram before she has the abortion? Why do they do that?
They're trying to produce guilt or shame in her, realizing, you know what, I can see that's a baby in there.
Mm-hmm.
And because of guilt and shame, I will not kill that child.
And just look at it from the other side. Why is the other side trying to fight that so badly, saying that no, we do not want that as a law. We don't want these women looking at the sonogram of their baby before their abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're doing that is because they do not want them to feel guilty. They want them to go ahead and kill that child and murder that child. And so we see that guilt is a good thing sometimes. Now, what we live here, what we have here is a change in terminology to remove the guilt.
Exactly.
We don't call things what they are anymore because we don't want people to feel guilty. You know, you see the word fornication or you talk about somebody shacking up and they don't want to hear that kind of terminology. They want to call it something else. Don't?
Yeah, you know, so fornicating, let's call it making love. That sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible condemns fornication. Well, let's make love. We'll be all right. And then there's homosexuality. And yet today they call it being gay. What they're trying to do is change terminology to make it sound not as bad as it really is. Or adultery. The Bible condemns specifically adultery. Today people call it
an affair.
An affair.
An affair. A lot of times, and this is the way that the mindset is trying to be able to be promoted, enclosed today. You have dishonorable, improper clothing, especially for women. I'm not saying the men don't have it too, but especially for women. Clothing that is absolutely dishonorable. You want a good picture of dishonorable and improper? How about the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year? The improper actions, the improper dress, the dishonorable attitude of the woman that was doing all the dancing there, and you didn't have to watch it all to see it. All you had to do was glimpse at it.
You know the dresses today, the plunging neckline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, I see more of women today than I've ever seen in my lifetime. The plunging necklines, the shortened skirts, the tightness of the clothes. You know, it's deplorable. It's dishonorable. It's filthy. It shows more than it ought to, but what does the world call it?
Fashionable.
Fashionable.
Fashionable. It's very difficult. I understand. I talk to mothers all the time, and they tell me it's very difficult to go down to even JCPenney's or one of these places and buy clothing for your children today that is not made just like what we're talking about here. But commercials, famous people wearing these revealing kind of a clothes, the actions depicting sexual immorality, gives people a sense here of right and wrong. If she does it in front of all of these millions and millions of people all over the world, and she's not ashamed of it, she doesn't feel guilty of it, why should I?
Exactly. And so really, David, the lack of shame, the lack of guilt is the reason for all these things. And we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. We're going to take a radio break, and we're going to continue with the internet radio. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Parkheads Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
All right, we're back here on now the internet radio and also as well as our radio audience. We're thankful that those are listening to us from KTX 97.7 FM in Eastland, and also KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford. We're thankful that you're here along with our internet audience at KnowTheTruthRadio.org. Tonight we're talking about how that we're living in a day when there is no guilt and there is no shame in our society today. People simply going about doing whatever they do, not feeling bad or guilty about it. But you know, David, when we do sin, we need to feel guilty.
Sure we do.
And we need, because it's guilt and shame that causes us to want to change our lives. We've seen how that even in the Old Testament times in Jeremiah, Israel had gone to a point where they no longer could blush.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer could feel shame for what they're doing. And we left off talking about how that a lot of this happens because people are redefining terms to make sin not so sound so bad.
Well, while we were on break, Ronnie wrote into the chat box and said, "I really feel sorry for the parents involved in the school shootings, but explain how the shooting of a 6- and 8-year-old child is a heinous crime, but abortion is not." And we addressed this several weeks ago, but I think this will get back to guilt and lack of guilt. When people can see children playing and people feel so guilty about this that they have a knee-jerk reaction, now they want to eliminate all firearms out of society's hands because there's some crazy man out here shooting and killing 6- and 8-year-old children. There is guilt associated with it. This is one of the reasons that we're trying to get rid of all of the guns now through laws that would be unconstitutional to do so. But the guilt is not associated with abortion because of the renaming of terms, because people have set it up as being something that is more or less akin to birth control than the murdering of children. And so you call things different names, you remove the guilt, you remove the shame, and then there's nothing wrong with it. And this is the reason that we have this kind of thing.
You know, when you think about this whole issue, David, of not having feelings of guilt for wrongdoing, not being ashamed for wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
and not really being able to blush and beginning to change terms to make these things not seem so bad, isn't it, David, true that the very root of all of this is brazen arrogance against God?
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt.
You know, when we are arrogant and we're not willing to submit ourselves to God, in reality, it's pride and arrogance that keeps us from mm-hmm. being willing to feel guilt and able to feel guilt and willingness to have the proper shame that we need. As a matter of fact, Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You know, David, we've got to patiently submit ourselves to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'll do that, then we'll feel guilt and shame when we've transgressed his will or when we have wronged him.
Well, in another place, in James chapter 4 and verse 6, we're told there that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And here is what we're talking about, this brazen arrogance. It is a prideful attitude against the right and wrong of God's word. You do not want to be resisted by God. He will not tolerate this brazen, prideful, non-guilty attitude toward sin. It will not be tolerated. Never has been. It never will be tolerated. And yet the people that do these immoral things, regardless of what you call them in today's society, they are arrogant about that. They feel no guilt over it. They feel no remorse over it. They have no guilt over their immoral lifestyle. As a matter of fact, they're even proud of it.
Exactly. And you know, David, that is the reason why Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 3, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what the deal is, David, a lot of times we begin to think our own will is more important than God's will. And we think we know better than God, and that God's old-fashioned, and it's the old way of faith, you know, and not the new way of doing things. And we begin to, pride and arrogance makes us think that we know better than God.
Well, isn't this what they were talking about in Jeremiah's day in chapter 44?
Exactly.
I mean, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, we know what you said.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it our way.
As for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our mouth.
You know, even in Jeremiah chapter 16, in verse 16, it says, "Stand ye in a way, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Last part says, "But they said, we will not walk therein."
Mm-hmm.
They had no guilt, they had no shame for transgressing God's law, and
there again we see that brazen arrogance. Friends, it will destroy the church, and it will destroy this country.
You see it happening before our very eyes.
Before our very eyes. You see, the guilt of sin should be a weight on our shoulders. It should be a nagging uneasiness that we are in sin and that we have not addressed the problem. That's what sin should do to us. And we have a couple of examples here. Judas and Peter, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about Judas. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And then he felt he was guilty about it, took the silver back, begged them to take the silver back. They didn't care anything about it. What was he trying to do there?
Well, he's feeling guilt, remorse for what he was doing because of the sin he transgressed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was too late for him, wasn't it?
Sure. He was trying to ease his conscience, and he couldn't get it done.
You know, Peter's another example. Remember when Jesus said that he was going to be crucified,
mm-hmm.
And he says, "You cannot go where I'm going." And Jesus, Peter said, "Well, Lord, we'll die for you. We can go wherever you're going. We'll die for you." But Jesus said, "What? Before the day ends, you're going to deny me three times."
Right.
You know, and there's that sad verse there, David, in Luke chapter 22, verse 63, after Peter had denied him. And then what do we see? Jesus looking back, and evidently they had caught their eyes, both their eyes, and Peter realized what he had done.
He wept bitterly, and the reason that he wept bitterly was the fruit of his conscience.
He had a shame, he had guilt that he felt.
And certainly he should have.
And he turned into be one of the greatest men of God of all time.
Absolutely. So we can come out of this, but we have to realize that we're there before we can come out of anything. And so when we look at this situation, Tom, we need to ask the question, if we are guilty, if we have this guilt, if we have this shame, how do we remove it?
You know, first of all, we can't. It's only God that can remove this guilt. Now, we need this guilt to tell us we've got something we need to do about it, right? We've got to have this guilt. But we can't remove the guilt. Only God can. And you see, David, that is why he sent his son Jesus. "I came into the world to save sinners," he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He came to shed his blood for us. Without the blood of Christ, we would have no hope. There's no way that we could rid ourselves of this guilt.
And he even makes mention of that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28 when he says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," and here's why, "for the remission of sins," to take those sins away. How? In the blood of Christ. You see, he paid a debt that he didn't know. He paid a debt that you and I and every other person living on the face of this earth are guilty of. We're guilty of that debt. We owe the debt. We can't pay it.
Exactly.
Only he can pay it for us.
Well, how, David, then, can we come in contact with that God provides that can remove the guilt of sin in our life? He does give us a process by which we can remove this guilt, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it really begins, David, with us believing that he is God, believing in Jesus, because if we can't get past that, there is no way that we're going to ever look to him for the removal of guilt if we don't really believe that he is indeed the Savior. And so we've got to. John 3:16 talks about us being willing to believe, to have faith in Jesus. But the sad thing, David, is that's where a lot of people stop.
They barely even get started. And we understand the Bible teaches us here, as we've always said, you've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when we hear this word of God, it will produce that faith. And that's where we start. Without this faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But that's not enough, just faith. He says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So in other words, if we have all of these immoral activities going on here, and we have faith, we believe, but we don't repent of those things that are wrong and sinful, then it does no good to even have the faith.
Exactly. And so the same Jesus that tells us that we need to hear on him, to hear his word, and to believe and repent of our sins, he also said in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." There is belief. There is repentance. There is confession of the name of Christ. But you know that same Jesus also said baptism was involved, didn't he?
No doubt. And the question was asked on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, or verse 37, said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart when they heard the word of God, which caused the belief. And they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ. And here's why. For the remission of your sins. For the forgiveness of those sins. And so if those sins are then forgiven through baptism, then you can remove the guilt at that point.
Exactly. But you know, David, even after becoming a Christian, we're still going to sin from time to time,
mm-hmm.
aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
All is sin and comes short of God's glory, Romans 3 and verse 23. And so then, again, guilt revives in our lives, even though we have become a Christian. Well, David, how do we get rid of that guilt after we've become a Christian, when we do sin? You know, and I don't like to call Christians sinful, because sinful means you're full of sin. Christians ought not to be full of sin. We're going to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sin occasionally. And we ought not to sin, you know, we ought not to sin, but we do. But when we do, we should feel guilt. We should feel shame. What then do we do after becoming a Christian to get that guilt and shame removed?
Well, we go back to the Bible and we find out what they did then. If we will do what they did then, it will remove the guilt and remove the sin, just as it did in their day, it will in our day. And we have a perfect example of this in Acts chapter 8 in verse number 22, and a fellow by the name of Simon, who was a penitent baptized believer. Earlier in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, we find that he was a believer, that he was baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And then, not too long after that, he fell right back into that same old groove that he had been in before, and he did sin. And that's when Peter told him, he says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." Repent of the wickedness. We've got to stop the wickedness.
Exactly. And you know, in the book of 1 John, chapter mm-hmm. 1 and verse 9, talking to Christian people, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
And so, repentance and then confession of our sins to God.
Yeah, that's acknowledging that we have sinned, right?
Yes, that we're guilty of what we've done.
And that we're going to quit doing it.
Absolutely. And then we've got to pray.
Exactly.
James chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so if we are Christians and we fall back into the world and we do commit the sin, then we must repent, we must confess, and we must pray for forgiveness from God. And then here's a very, very important thing. After God has removed that guilt, after God has removed that sin from our soul, we've got to learn to forget the guilt, Tom.
You know, and that's the very hard thing for us to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We like to hold on to our guilt. We like to hold on to our shame. But, you know, we need to remember that once we've been forgiven, it should be forgotten. Now, we realize there are things that are going to be difficult for us to get rid of. But when God has forgiven us, we need to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when God has forgiven someone else, we need also to forgive them.
Absolutely.
You know, we think about Paul and John Mark. They wanted to go on a missionary tour, and Paul didn't want to take him, did he?
No.
Because he left the first time, and Paul didn't want to take him the second time. Barnabas, you know, there was a contention between he and Barnabas took John Mark with him, and then Paul took Silas. What's interesting to me, David, is later on that Paul says, "Send John Mark to me, for he is profitable."
Right.
And he realized that, well, maybe I made a mistake, maybe John Mark grew up, or whatever the circumstance was, he's now profitable. That was forgotten, and now they're going to work together for the kingdom of God. We need to have that same kind of mentality where we're ready to forget and go on with our lives once we've been forgiven.
Well, when we look at Paul, a killer of Christians, we look at Peter, a denier of Jesus Christ, we look at John Mark, who left Paul on that missionary journey. Every one of these individuals repented. They got their lives right with God, and they returned to the sweet fellowship of Jesus the Christ. And what we've got to do is have enough faith in God to turn loose of this emotion of guilt and accept His forgiveness and do it on His terms.
Exactly. You know, if we're not willing to do that, we're not going to be forgiven.
No.
And we've got to accept His forgiveness. You know, in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, after he'd prayed for 3 days and having all this difficulty, Ananias told him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." What are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
Get up and do what you're going to have to do. And when we talk about, we don't have time, we'd love to be able to read tonight and discuss Romans chapter 6, verses 4, Romans chapter 6, verses 4, look at that chapter. But what do we find there being stressed for us?
We find right there, and we would encourage all of our listeners to do this, take your Bibles and read Romans chapter 6. And what you're going to find is the process, God's process of salvation, and God's process of forgiveness for the non-Christian and for the Christian. And it's a marvelous read if you'll just take the time and do that. It is an absolutely marvelous read. Now, in just the few minutes that we have, we want to get back to this idea of guilt one more time, because I want to stress this. This is a very, very important thing. If you're listening and you have reached the age of accountability and you have not obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, you should feel tremendous guilt. And there's three reasons why, Tom.
Exactly. Because you are in sin. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Another reason is because you are lost.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about how there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. We're
right.
Lost if we're not in Christ. And you know, David, we're without hope if we are of the accountable age and not a Christian. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, it talks about there's going to be great stress and great trouble and difficulty and punishment for those who know not God, and who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And so we need to feel guilt and shame for not being a Christian.
If we are not a Christian, if we have not rendered obedience to the gospel plan of salvation that the Bible gives us there. You know, one of the most striking verses that you'll ever read in the Bible is right there in that passage you mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. I would encourage everybody to read that. And listen to it here. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Friends, that is a horrific vision to get in your mind. The revealing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all of his angels in flaming fire, looking and taking vengeance on them that have not obeyed this gospel plan of salvation.
Exactly. And you know, David, if one is a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and they have left their first love, as did the church in Ephesus, there is also great reason to feel tremendous guilt and shame. We ought to be ashamed when we have left the first love. He came and died for us.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us so much. He gave us so many opportunities. And David, I know you have and I have over the years seen many people who have simply strayed away from the Lord. They no longer feel guilt. They no longer feel shame for being unfaithful to Him.
No, they do not. And here, if you're here and listening and you have left your first love, just like Jesus said to the church there in Ephesus, he said, "I have somewhat against you." You do not want to be resisted by God. You do not want to have God have somewhat against you. And so if you are one of those individuals who have left their first love, you need to feel guilty because you are guilty. If you're a Christian, you're living in the in this world, you're living a very worldly life, you're using bad language, you're drinking, you're involved in sexual impurity, the world teaches everybody does it. The psychologist teaches everybody does it. The psychologist and psychiatrist say you shouldn't feel guilty about it, but here's the point. If you are a Christian, you should feel guilty because those are the works of the flesh that will send your soul to hell.
Exactly. And he tells, of the which I tell you before, I have told you before in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, David, we've talked about something tonight that's very, very important to our society, very, very important to the church, very, very important to our family. We need, David, to be a people who are able to feel guilt for sin, to feel shame for what we're doing. But sadly, our TV shows, our commercials, our superstars, if you will, whether it be music or sports, are telling us there's no shame in sin, but God says something much different.
No doubt. No doubt. So as we wrap it up tonight, we want to thank our listening audience. We want to thank all the audience on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org and also the listening audience out there at Hereford, Texas and KNNK and all of the radio audience through the HPR network. And we want to encourage you to read your Bibles and find out what God has to say about your salvation, about your life. Don't listen to what man has to say. Listen to what God has to say and render your life to Him. Just submit your lives to Him. Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you. God bless our troops and God bless America.
I'd like to just maybe end tonight by asking you that if you have any questions or any topics that you would like for us to discuss, David and I would be more than happy to use the Bible to discuss these very issues. You can send us the questions or topics you would like for us to discuss by emailing us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we will get those. Be sure and to tell us the importance of this. We want to also remember that on March the 25th, we're going to be broadcasting from Rising Star, Texas. We hope to, on the next Monday, to be broadcasting from Hamilton, Texas. We're going to begin to do a little remote broadcasting. And so keep that in mind. March the 25th, Rising Star, Texas. And we'll see you next week on this HPR network.